There are a lot of Christians who are mixed multitude. Now, if you're mixed multitude, it's worse. You've got six things to fall. Three sins of the world, three in the kingdom of God. At least if you're outside there, you've got those three in the world that you fall into. But when you're one in, one out, you've got both sides. You possibly would fall into the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And at the same time, also into the things of the world. One foot here, one foot there. And it's a mixed multitude of all things, even though God fed them with the best food in the world, manna. But here, in verse 4, they say, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish, the cucumber, the onions, the leeks, the melons, the garlic. Look at them. God, now here is definitely the last of the flesh still. See, they cannot control their appetite. They have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. One foot in the kingdom of God. So, it's partly yielding to the things of the world. Every day they have fresh manna, still not enough. They say, where? Just like some Asians when they travel overseas. Hamburgers every day. A group of my church members went over to, you know, Lakewood Church, Osteen Church. And when they were there, Osteen, they all fed them. For 10 days, they ate hamburgers. You know, our friend came back and said, his hamburger sick. Couldn't stand it. Says, where's the curry? Laksa? Roti canai? I know what they mean. You know? Not all these are under control. You know, being Asians, we're Asians' diet. I remember, you know, every time when we go overseas, we thank God for all the food. We could live with it, you know, without saying anything wrong, just live it. But when you first come back, the first thing you go to is Malaysian food. Right? And it never tastes so good. But here, while in the wilderness, they are saying, where's the garlic? Lord, manna, no garlic. Over there got garlic bread. We want garlic manna. Lord, how about curry powder manna? Laksa manna. All kinds of things. They are still having the last of the flesh. The sin of the lips. And in chapter 12, again is the lips. This time, it reaches to Aaron and Miriam. With their mouth, they began to speak against Moses. See, it catches on. And in chapter 13 and 14, when they went out, in chapter 13, when they sent the 12 spies, and you know when the 12 spies came out, they said the wrong words. Because they believed the wrong thing. And they said the wrong words. They said in verse 31, chapter 13, we are not able to go against these people for they are stronger than we. And in chapter 14, in the end, they refused to go in. And God says, since you refuse, you will stay here and die. Three times recorded the sin of the lips in different way. And if you are ever a believer in the kingdom of God, and you come into the kingdom of God, come in the body of Christ, remember, the first thing that the book of James tells us, if you have truly become spiritual, your tongue comes under control. That means there's a lot of people who are not spiritual, they are only religious. Let me read to you from the book of James what true spirituality is. See, we're not talking about being religious. We're talking about being spiritual. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And It says in verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." And he continues to tell us in verse 8, 9, 10. "No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing." He says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be." These things ought not to be. They should not continue to exist coming out from the same mouth. And the book of James has many other places that talks about the mouth. It says, anyone who claims to be religious, anyone who claims to be truly spiritual, if they cannot control their tongue, then their religion is false. So when we move into the kingdom of God, one of the first sins that we must overcome is the sin of the tongue. Very careful with the words we use, with the words we say. We load our words powerfully. Even Jesus emphasized words. The words we say can carry a blessing or can carry a curse. And these are the things that are important. See, out there, the three sins in the world, you know, those include all those things. But when you come into the church, in order to move into righteousness and holiness, it includes the washing of our mouth. Remember what Isaiah experienced? In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, he was a righteous man. Let me tell you, Isaiah was a righteous man. He was not an evil person. But when he saw the holiness of God, and all the angels and the hosts of heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," he cried and he said, "Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people with unclean lips." The tongue, sin of the tongue, when you come into the kingdom of God, that's the first thing we must conquer, to conquer, to walk right in holiness before God. We're all getting very quiet now. That's important for us to know. And you move into chapter 15, and it talks about the Sabbath and the tassels in verse 37 to verse 41 of chapter 15. The tassels. Now the tassels, what do they represent? Notice what they are for in verse 40. Verse 39, 40. "You shall have the tassels that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined." Although the tassels, the thing added to their garments, were because somebody broke the Sabbath and God wanted them to remember the Sabbath. But here, he says, it's not only to remember the Sabbath, it's to remember all the commandments of the Lord. So in that passage, it tells us how we are to control our tongue by controlling our heart and our eyes. Keeping the commandments of God constantly before us. What other key is there than meditation on the Word? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells us, "You shall put my word on the doorpost. You shall speak of them when you lie down, when you rise up, when you wake up. Put them as frontlets between your eyes." The word. Only the word can sanctify us. That's not only mentioned by us. It
Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 17, in his prayers, he says, say in John 17, and Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify. Now, the word sanctify and the word holy are the same Greek word. They are from the word hagios. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now both sanctification, that is holiness, righteousness, and holiness, and true goodness can only come by the word. And so immediately you begin to see how to overcome the way of Cain. You know what the way of Cain, what was wrong? His brother offered an offering. Abel offered an offering with blood in the right way. In other words, Abel did it the right way. And they learned to do it. Cain didn't do it the right way. What should Cain have done? Just do the copy Abel. Do what he did. God told him, if you did the right thing, will you not be accepted? All you have to do is bring those offerings, include the blood sacrifice, he will be straight away accepted before God. In other words, Cain was not willing to go by the standard set by God to Abel. He thought that the standards that Abel had were from himself and not from God. God was trying to say, that is not just Abel, that is me, my standards. And that's what sometimes a believer look at another believer and they say, you know, that's just him. May it never be that we lose the fact of hearing God's voice through a life, through a person, through anybody whom God can use in the body of Christ. Young men shall see vision, old men dream dreams. Your young maidens, your handmaidens shall prophesy. See, sometimes we forget that it's God's voice speaking. Let me tell you, sometimes among believers, because we are so familiar with one another, and sometimes God is speaking through them, and we think it's them and not God. And we lose that reality of God, because they are saying the right thing and getting all the right things from God, and we are not, and they are saying the things that are from God, and we are not paying attention. The way of Cain. I don't want to change, oh God. I'd rather get rid of the person and force you to accept me. Which God will never. Go by the standards of the word. That's what the tassels represent. The only way to get rid of the way of Cain. You know, you say, this is right, that is right, this is right, that. How do you know which is right? That church is right, this church is right, that man of God is right, that man of God is wrong. How do we know? The written word. No matter how long Christianity has been on this earth for nearly 2,000 years, and you got all kinds of Christianity, all kinds of denomination, from the time the church of in the book of Acts started until now, you read church history, all kinds of practices, thousands of them. I mean, I've done a lot of research in church history. All kinds of funny doctrine. All kinds of funny practices. And I read a lot about Christian books and writings today. And all kinds of differences. All kinds of differentiation. How I know which one is right?